offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, coming to you live from our studios at Prashanthi Nilayam. And with me, after a break of a couple of weeks, we have back here Brother Sai Prakash, who is going to join me in this discourse we are going through, which is the Guru Purnima discourse of the year 1990. We were going through the 1990 Samukho series, and as a follow-up of that series, we have chosen to take this one discourse which Swami gave as his Guru Purnima message, which in many ways is a beautiful summary of that entire series. So before we all dive into this discourse, we have played three clips. We'll follow up from there. I invite my brother Sai Prakash to join me. Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem. Yes, this is quite a remarkable discourse, and I missed two episodes previously, but just going through it today, I felt this is just the perfect sequel to what we actually did. Rather, right. Swami has himself summarized the entire series. But, you know, it's like he's just taking you one step further when he's saying, yes, you know, you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not the senses, you're not the buddhi, you're atma. But what happens in day-to-day life and in day-to-day existence, how are you experiencing that? And with this analogy of dreams, deep sleep and waking state, Swami explains how clearly you are not what you think yourself to be.
Right.
Rather, he says, in the sleep state, the mind conjures up a lot of stories, it conjures up a lot of events, and it's clearly your mind. And when you wake up, you hardly believe that it was a dream. But in the waking state, we so readily believe that this is my body and this is my mind, and I am the one who is experiencing this and this. So right. I think that's where the difference comes.
Exactly, and that's what Swami says in this first part of that discourse, where he says that a dream, as long as it lasts, it appears real.
Correct.
And as you said, it's such a beautiful thing, because this is something which all of us have experienced. You know, whether you're a spiritual person, you're not a spiritual person, you've given thought to such things. This is something which everybody has experienced. Everybody sleeps, everybody dreams. And everybody experiences the ephemeral nature of the dream.
Very true. In fact, there's a very interesting, I would often get two kinds of dreams. And I discussed it with one of our senior brothers,
okay,
who, when he was a student, had a chance to ask Bhagwan about it. Basically, two kinds of dreams. One is the kind flying kind of dream,
right,
where, you know, in my dreams, I'm very vividly able to just take off at will. And there is a barrier that's coming forward. There's a huge gate and I can just take a deep breath and I'm flying over it. And then I can just sheerly by breath control. That's how it's always in my dream. If I release my breath, I'm coming down. Otherwise, if I'm holding my breath, I'm floating.
Okay.
And I have flown across all the primary school, Prashanthi Nilayam, this, that. I have got an aerial view of all that.
Is it?
So, that is one kind of dream. The other kind of dream is as if I'm falling down.
Right.
You know, you're falling down from a great height and then from a cliff, and suddenly you're gasping for breath, and you know, you just wake up with a jerk. With a jerk, and then your heart is really thumping fast. And for a long time, I didn't understand what this meant. And that brother kind of explained to me that when he had asked Swami, Swami said, that is the experience of the soul trying to leave the body. He says, your soul, at that point, when you're really relaxed and you're in a spiritual sphere, your soul wants to leave the body and it wants to experience the freedom that it originally is made up of. But we, like a drowning person, we are not able to let go. And you know, that's why when we get this feeling of falling from a great height, somehow we clutch onto it. We catch that soul and bring it back into this body. He said, no, you are very much a part of this body. The soul just wants to experience a slightly out of the body feeling. And that's exactly what Swami told it was.
Right. You know, once I remember one of the old devotees sharing a very interesting interaction which happened with Swami. There was this lady devotee who was in Swami's presence in the interview room. And like many times Swami does, he said, what do you want? And, you know, being with Swami for so many years, we know at least what are the things that have to be asked. And so this lady said, Swami, give me moksha. So I said, oh, you want moksha? You really want moksha? He said, yes, Swami, that's the best thing to ask. And what better, I mean, who's there better to grant us that? And having given this opportunity to ask you, I should ask for that. Give me moksha. So I said, all right, shall I give it to you right now? She said, no, no, Swami, not now. I still have some affairs to settle. You know, my children are there, I need to do this, do that. She said, but I want to. Moksha.
Eventually I want it.
Eventually at the end of it. You know, so she just wanted the blessing of moksha, not moksha as such.
As such.
I think that is what happens, as you're saying, intellectually sometimes we know that this is what we need. But it's, you have to, you know, take along everything. When Swami says the mind has the aspects of manas, buddhi, chitta, ankara, I think it is the sublimation of all of them.
Everything, everything.
It's not just the intellect alone knowing that this is the best thing to ask and asking.
In fact, very beautifully Nisargadatta Maharaj puts it. And somebody asks him, you mean to say I can still have my profession, I can still get married, I can still do this, I can still do that, and they won't affect me in any way? He says, when the whole house is on fire, what about a small matchstick? He says, the whole house is on fire, what about a small tiny matchstick in the house? So when your entire life, when your entire consciousness and your awareness grows to such a level, what will this job matter? What will this family matter? You're totally in a totally different sphere. Yes, you can get married. Yes, you can have a job. Yes, you can do everything. But everything is looked at from the higher point of view. I think that's what he meant.
Very true. I think if we look at Swami's messages, Swami's one-liner quotes, there is always this subtle reference to this, where, you know, a kind of balance where you are in it but not of it.
Correct.
Where you're doing it but you're not bound by what you're doing. Swami always says that being like the lotus. Swami refers to, you know, hands in the society, you know, head in the forest. He's always talking of going through what you are doing, but with a very, very high and sublime understanding.
Correct.
Whenever Swami is talking about this dream, I'm just reminded, as you're saying, that you have that kind of dream. A couple of times what has happened to me is, you know, you'll be in the middle of a dream. Something exciting is happening, either very scary or very happy. But in the middle of the dream, suddenly that realization comes, it's just a dream. I'm going to wake up from it.
Oh, okay.
Just that thought comes. After all, it's a dream. And you don't wake up from the dream. The dream does not end, but once that understanding comes, you suddenly become that witness even in that dream state.
Correct.
I think that's what Swami is trying to do when, you know, in the dream, you're constantly being given the information that this is a dream, this is a dream, this is a dream. You might not necessarily wake up from the dream to realization, liberation, maybe that is there to come in time. But the ease with which you go through the dream, once that understanding comes, is something which is so liberating.
Right. Now, in fact, the very origin of mind is vibration. You have thought, you have, you know, vibration that leads to materialization. So he says, when there is absolute stillness, then that is a reflection of the Atma.
Right.
When you identify yourself with that state of complete stillness, he says that is still not the Atma, because Atma is attributeless.
Right.
But then that stillness is the pure reflection of the Atma.
Right.
And how beautifully he says, it's like the sun. He says it's like the sun that is showering its light on everybody. What action you choose to do in the sunlight doesn't affect the sun. So the sun is a mere witness, like the Atman. So the sun is a witness, and what action you choose to do, it adds on to your karma. So, in the sense, your karma, if you still identify with the body and mind, if you identify your actual nature with Atma, then everything is just a dream. Everything is a dream. So.
Yes, you know, someone was saying that some of the tallest peaks in the world are actually underwater.
Okay.
Okay, which gives us an idea of what is the depth of the ocean. And when Swami gives the example of the ocean and the waves, he says, you see different waves. The existence of those waves is so, for such a limited time. And imagine the surface of the ocean compared to the depth of the ocean. It's like 1,000 times more the depth. So to define an ocean based on the waves, Swami says it's like defining the Atma based on the forms you see around.
Right, right.
So Swami is telling that when you look at the bigger picture, you're not going to say that, you know, this is wave 1, wave 2, wave 3. You're just going to say this is the ocean.
This is the ocean, right.
And so many such beautiful examples. I think Swami also gives the example of a house having different rooms.
Correct.
He's saying you erect walls, but it does not change the nature. The house is a house.
Correct.
Functionally, it might have different rooms.
And then he gives this example of the five sheaths.
Right.
The Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. And he says the Annamaya is definitely the gross sheath. Then Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, they form the subtle body.
Sukshma
Sharira.
Right.
And Anandamaya Kosha forms the causal or the Karana Sharira. It's very interesting because even then, he says, Anandamaya Kosha itself is not Atma.
Right.
He says that is a reflection of the stillness of Atma. So basically what he is saying is anything that has movement, that has manifestation, a vibration and a manifestation, is a reflection of the Atma. It is not the Atman.
Right.
Basically the Atman, just changeless and timeless, eternal, is there. That's it.
No, that's the beauty. You know, in everything, Swami says the transcendental nature of Atma, you know, because when he talks about the five koshas, he says Annamaya is closest, but Atma is beyond that. When he's talking about these three states, waking, you know, dream state and deep sleep, he says Sushupti is when you're in that absolute stillness. He says the mind is absent. That is why there's stillness. But Swami says, but the Atmic state is even beyond that.
Correct.
So he's saying that in your day-to-day living, you might experience that bliss, you might experience that stillness, but it is still not the
ultimate,
into the ultimate state. Then, of course, he goes on to talk about the example of the husk and the
grain.
The grain, where he says, as long as the husk remains, there will be that birth and rebirth.
Correct.
And the process of removing that, which is the mind, the body, the attachment of the body and the mind, when that dehusking happens, then the process of birth and death stops.
Correct.
So I think we'll go to the next clip in the discourse.
Yes.
And we'll see what Swami has to say in this discourse.
Deeniki maroka udaharanam. One more example to illustrate this. అగ్నితో చేరినటువంటి ఇనుప గుండును మనం ముట్టినప్పుడు మన హస్తాన్ని కాలుస్తుంది. వెన్ యూ టచ్ ఎన్ ఐరన్ బాల్ విచ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ద ఫైర్ దెన్ యువర్ హ్యాండ్ గెట్స్ బర్న్డ్. ఇనుప గుండు కాల్చింది అని మనం చెప్పుతున్నాం. వీఆర్ టెలింగ్ దట్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ఐరన్ బాల్ ఈజ్ మేడ్ హాట్. సరి అయినటువంటి జవాబు కాదు. దిస్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ రిప్లై. ఇనుప గుండు నిన్ను కాలలేదు. It is not the iron ball which has burned you. It is the fire which is inside this iron ball which has caused that burning sensation in you. Aithe ee inapa gundulo agni ekkada undi. If that be so, where is the fire in this iron ball?
Lopala unnada leka lopala unnada?
Whether this fire is outside of this iron ball or inside of this iron ball?
Antar bahirta sarva vyapya narayana sthita.
లోపల వెలుపల కూడాను ఈ అగ్ని ఉంటుండదు. ఇన్సైడ్ అండ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఐరన్ బాల్ ఈజ్ దిస్ ఫైర్. మనము కాల్చినటువంటిది నిప్పు అయినప్పటికీ, అగ్ని అయినప్పటికీ మనం గుండు పైన ఆరోపిస్తున్నాం. వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ఫైర్ విచ్ హెస్ కాజ్ దిస్ బర్నింగ్ సెన్సేషన్ టు అస్, వీఆర్ అక్యూజింగ్ ది ఐరన్ బాల్ అండ్ నాట్ ఫైర్.
ఈ ప్రపంచం అంతా కూడాను ఒక పెద్ద గ్లోబ్ గుండు వంటిది.
This entire world may be compared to an iron ball.
Indulo sukadukkamulu laabhanashtamulu kashtamulu nindalu nishthuramulu aneetundi manalni baadhisthunnayi.
In this we are subjected to joy, sorrow, criticism, censure, praise and such other things.
Aithe ivi baadhimpabadinatundi emiti?
What is it that is
shariri indiya manobuddhulu baadhimpabadutunnayi?
It is the body, senses, mind and intellect which are being inconvenienced or hurt and experienced by this.
ఈ ప్రపంచం అంతా కూడాను అంతర్బహిరంలో వ్యాపించినటువంటిది ఆత్మ చైతన్యం ఒక్కటే.
But the truth is, the inside of the world and the outside it is only Atma which is pervading.
Sarvamunukunu Atmane pramanamu pradhanamu ane satyanni gurtinchukolenatundi vyaktulu ee vidhamga aaropistu untunnaru.
The individuals who have not understood the fact that Atma is inside and outside of this world are only accusing in the wrong way.
Kanuka samastamunaku moola karanamu Atmane.
Therefore, it is Atma which is responsible for everything.
Darshinchalante manam ye upayamunu etakali.
What is the strategy that we should have to have a vision of this Atma?
Etakaraledu. There is a prakashamainatundi oka sthiti.
There is no need for searching or seeking. It is
lenu dalani krottaga sampadinchukuneetundi kaadi.
It is not something which can be acquired.
సర్వకాల సర్వావస్థలు ఎందుకు ఉన్నటువంటిది
అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ప్లేసెస్ అండర్ ఆల్ సర్కమ్స్టెన్సెస్
ఉన్నదాని వెతకటం ఎక్కడ
వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సో వేర్ హ్యావ్ టు సర్చ్ ఫర్ ఆల్
ఈ దీపాన్ని వెతకడానికి మరొక వెలుగును తీసుకుని రావటం ఎంత వేరితనం
ఈజ్ ఇట్ నాట్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాడ్నెస్ టు సర్చ్ ఫర్ లైట్ ఇన్ ది లైట్ సెల్ఫ్ విత్ ది హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ అనదర్
నిరంతరం కూడా మేము ప్రకాశించుతున్నటువంటి వెలుగే
ఆత్మ ఈజ్ ల్యూమినస్ ఆల్ ద వైల్ and at all times
inkoka sadhana cheta deeni vetakanakkaraledu.
There is no need for a special sadhana to seek Atma.
Tananu taanu gurtinchukolenanta varaku kudalu idi ekkado varaku pradeshamlo unnadani bhramistunnadu manavudu.
Until man recognizes his own real nature, he deludes himself that Atma is in some other place.
Niru tappina nippu vale ida deha bhranti ఈ ఆత్మజ్ఞానమును కప్పివేస్తుంది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ది యాషస్ విచ్ కవర్ ది ఎంబర్స్, ది ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఇస్ కవరింగ్ అవర్ ఓన్.
అకనుక నిజానందమైనటువంటి యొక్క నేను గుర్తించినప్పుడే ఈ సర్వస్వం కొన్ని మాయమవుతుంది.
వన్స్ ఐ రికగ్నైజ్ మై ట్రూ బ్లిస్, ఆల్ ది డెల్యూజన్ డిసపియర్స్.
ఇది నేను నేను నేను.
అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ it must be said I
nenu aneetundi padam puttina tarvatane srushti antaikunnu srushtimpabadide.
The entire creation has emerged only after this word I has
nene lekapothe srushti led.
If I is not there, there is no creation.
Kanuka aa nenu aneetundi em,
what is this I then?
Adi evaru?
Who is that I?
Ade uniki.
And that is the very basis.
ఆ ఉనికి సర్వుల ఎందుకు స్ఫురించుతుంటే చేత దీనికి ఆత్మ అని మరొక పేరు.
యాజ్ దిస్ ఎక్స్ప్రెసెస్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్, దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ కాల్డ్ ఆత్మ.
ఇది బ్రహ్మ అని మరొక పేరు.
అనదర్ నేమ్ ఫర్ ది సేమ్ ఎంటిటీ ఈజ్ బ్రహ్మ.
దీనికి హృదయము అని ఇంకొక పేరు.
అనదర్ నేమ్ ఈజ్ హార్ట్.
దీనిని అహం అని కూడా మరొక పేరు.
స్టిల్ అనదర్ నేమ్ ఈజ్ అహం.
నేను, బ్రహ్మ, ఉనికి, హృదయము, అహం ఇవన్నీ కూడా ఆత్మ యొక్క పర్యాయ పదములు మాత్రమే.
ఐ, ఉనికి, హార్ట్, బ్రహ్మ అండ్ అహం ఆర్ ఆల్
హృదయమునగా ఈనాడు మనం భ్రమిస్తున్నటువంటిది కేవలము దేహ సంబంధమైనటువంటి గుండెను మనం హృదయంగా భావిస్తున్నాము.
వెన్ వీ సే హార్ట్, వీఆర్ మిస్టేకింగ్ ఇట్ ఫార్ ఫిజికల్ హార్ట్.
ఇది కాదు హృదయం.
దాట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది రియల్ హార్ట్.
హృదయమునకు ఒక పరిమితము లేదు.
ఫర్ హార్ట్ దర్ ఇస్ నో స్పెసిఫిక్.
సర్వత్రా ఉండినటువంటిదే నిజమైన హృదయం.
ద ట్రూ హార్ట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ పర్వేసివ్.
కనుక ఇట్టి హృదయాన్ని మనము విస్మరించి సంకుచితమైన పరిమితమైనటువంటి ఈ దేహ హృదయాన్ని మాత్రమే మనం హృదయంగా భావిస్తున్నాము.
వీఆర్ గివింగ్ అప్ దిస్ బ్రాడ్ హార్ట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్ పర్వేసివ్ and considering the physical heart alone as the true heart.
Patti padamunakunu nenu aneetundi uniki aadharam chesukoniye manamu jeevithanni gadaputunnam.
We are living our entire life on the basis of this one word I.
Adi aham aham aham.
And this I is aham.
Ahame brahma.
This aham itself is brahma.
Nenu kutumbikudanu antunnavu.
I am a family man, we say.
కుటుంబీకునకు ముందు నేను అనేటువంటి పదం ఉంటుండాలి.
బిఫోర్ దిస్ వర్డ్ ఫ్యామిలీ మ్యాన్ యూ గెట్ దిస్ వర్డ్ ఐ.
నేను సన్యాసిని అంటున్నాడు.
ఐ హావ్ ఏ సన్యాసిని.
ఈ సన్యాసికి ముందు నేను అనే పదం ఉంటుండాలి.
బిఫోర్ దిస్ వర్డ్ సన్యాసి ఐ కమ్.
నేను పురుషుడను అంటున్నాడు. పురుష అనేటువంటి పదములకు నేను అనే పదం ముందు ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇన్ ది స్టేట్మెంట్ ఐఎమ్ ఎ మ్యాన్ ఐ కమ్స్ ఫస్ట్, మ్యాన్ నెక్స్ట్.
కనుక నేను గృహస్థుడను, నేను సన్యాసుడను, నేను పురుషుడను, నేను స్త్రీని అనేటువంటి ఈ మార్పు చెందేటువంటి పదములు దూరం చేసినప్పుడు నేను శాశ్వతమైనటువంటిగా నిలుస్తుంది.
Then, in the statements, I am a sannyasin, I am a family man, I am a man and I am a woman. Once you remove these different words, man, woman, sannyasi, what remains is I.
Annintikini nene aadharamu.
This proves that it is I which is the basis for everything.
Nenu anaga ade atma.
When you say I, it is atma.
Itti, sarvatra, sarvajnudai yundinatpinti. ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని మనము మర్చిపోతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఈజ్ ఆమ్నిషియంట్, ఆమ్నిపొటెంట్ అండ్ ఆమ్నిప్రెజెంట్.
కనుకనే ఇన్ని బాధలకు, ఇన్ని విధములైనటువంటి దుఃఖములకు, ఇన్ని విధములైనటువంటి సందేహములకు మానవుడు గురి అవుతున్నాడు.
దిస్ ఫర్గెట్ఫుల్నెస్ ఈజ్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ ఫర్ మేకింగ్ మ్యాన్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు సో మెనీ గ్రీవ్స్, సో మెనీ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్, సో మెనీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్.
మనము ప్రేమించవలసినటువంటిది మనిషిని కాదు.
వాట్ యూ హావ్ టు లవ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ద మ్యాన్.
ఆత్మను ప్రేమించాలి.
బట్ యూ హావ్ టు లవ్ ఆత్మ.
కనుక మనము ప్రేమించవలసినటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మను విస్మరించి ప్రేమించ తగనటువంటి యొక్క దేహాన్ని మనం ప్రేమిస్తున్నాం.
ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ లవింగ్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఈస్ ద రైట్ థింగ్, వీఆర్ లవింగ్ ద ఫిజికల్ బాడీ విచ్ ఈస్ అ మిస్టేక్.
కనుకనే ఆత్మవిశ్వాసం అనేటువంటిది దృఢముగా నిల్చుకోలేకపోతుండాలి.
That is why there is no self-confidence which is firmly established.
That was the fourth clip in that discourse. And even as you're listening to that, I'm just, you know, the different discourses in which Swami spoke of the same theme in that series is coming to mind.
Correct.
Where he's talking about Hridayam, there was that, I think the last couple of discourses he spoke about that, when Swami is talking about this concept of Nenu or Aham, when Swami spoke about the different aspects of the mind, when he spoke about the Ahankara, Swami spoke about that.
Uh-huh.
And when Swami is talking about giving a body consciousness, there was another discourse in which Swami said, it's almost like for the devotees who are not fortunate enough to be part of that summer course which was for students.
Correct.
Swami is kind of compressing the whole thing and giving it, but still it is sounding so fresh. You know, the examples which he is giving, some of these, we didn't come across even in those discourses which were entirely made for one of these paragraphs that Swami is speaking.
Correct. The whole idea of, you know, when he says that if the ball is burning you,
right,
the ball of coal is burning you, it's because of the fire inside.
Right.
And what an example. I mean, it's amazing. Because, yes, in the Gita there are similar examples where he says, the Lord is like the string that connects the garland of pearls. And he says every living form or every form of life or any creation is a pearl. And the Lord is the unseen thread, the string that connects them all. So that is the example that's given in the Bhagavad Gita. And you would often hear some of the examples like, no matter what the singer is singing, mm-hmm, the tanpura is constant in the background.
Right.
So similarly, the Atman which is there. But this is a very good example.
No, actually, this is a classic Vedantic example,
okay,
of the iron ball and the iron,
mm-hmm,
and the fire in the iron ball.
Okay.
But I was really glad when Swami said this, because there are many, many places where I've read this.
Mm.
In fact, one particular book which I've read, I think I've spoken about this year before,
mm-hmm,
a book called Drig Drishya Vivekam,
okay,
written by Vidyaranya, which,
okay,
is about understanding the Atmic non-duality.
Mm-hmm.
But there, when I read it, I really had no clue what this meant. But the way Swami has put it here, imagine he's saying that, you know, you touch a hot iron ball, it burns you. You say the iron ball has burnt me, but actually it is the fire which has burnt you.
Mm.
And then Swami is saying, where is that fire? Antar bahishta tat sarvam. It is there inside, outside and everywhere. And then Swami is saying, what is the iron ball? Iron ball is the world which you see.
Correct.
And what is that fire? It's that Atmic consciousness. So when you say that I am getting joy from the world, when you say that I am getting love from somebody, when you say that I am getting, something is troubling me or something is, every time the experience actually comes from not that iron ball, but the fire.
Correct.
You know, which is the self-effulgent Atma that alone is giving you every experience.
Correct.
It's such a beautiful and simple way Swami has put it here.
So, basically the Atman is the one that lends existence to everything else.
Right.
Basically it is a source. And everything else is just a reflection of the source. And when the reflections are reflected with distortions, then that's what happens to you. You know, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, those are the distortions.
Right.
The three classic distortions. So then after this, of course, Swami moves on to this concept of I. And Swami has mentioned this many times. Like in one of the discourses, he would say, I am not this, I am not that, I am not this, I am not that. I am not a man, I am not a Gandharva, I am not a god.
Right.
I am not a Deva, I am not anything. Then we were wondering, Swami, who are you? Nenu nene, I am I. So basically he says, I am I. So he says, anybody whom you ask, they say, I am so and so, I am so and so. Then that I remains constant in everybody.
And the other analogy which he gives here is also beautiful. He's saying, will anybody be stupid enough to search for a lamp with the help of another lamp?
That's right.
He's saying a lamp can be found only in its own light.
In its own light.
And he's saying that you're searching for something which is so obvious.
Mm.
So you have to stop looking at something which is distracting you from what is obvious.
That's right.
And that's what Swami is saying wonderfully. He's saying there's no sadhana is required to get over it.
You know, when Swami is talking about this Hridayam, and he says Hridayam is all pervasive, and he says, you know, the classic question is, we all are a part of the Hridayam. It's not that the Hridayam is in us. So when you talk of the physical heart, of course Swami mentions it here that you are restricting the what the Hridayam actually means. You know, when we were in our school and in our college days, we would make different cards for Swami, and we would put a heart shape. And inside that we would put Swami. And Swami says, oh, your heart is so big that it can contain me. Is your heart so big that it can contain me? And then he would often say in many of his discourses as well, don't pray for expansion of heart, because that will lead to
that's a disease.
That you'll end up with a heart problem. But pray for expansion of mind. And pray for expansion. And oftentimes, like when you read Nisargadatta Maharaj also, when you read some of the books, the classic question is the mind in me or am I in the mind? So, like, more and more you come to think that any distortion from the Atmic level is the mind, as Swami is rightly saying here. And all the distortions are governed by these gunas. So, basically there is a universal mind, and in fact I think you mentioned it in one of those sessions when we were doing, how the collective consciousness of people was raised and inspired at different points in time.
Right.
Like how a series of scientific discoveries came about. It's not by, you know, it's not an accident.
Right.
And how, actually when you start seeing scientific discovery as, you know, unraveling the mysteries of nature, definitely that's one step closer to the Creator.
Right.
But, you know, it's going the other way around right now.
No, that's the beautiful thing. Even as you're saying about that card of putting Swami in the heart, you know, that's how Swami teaches with very, very small lessons.
That's right.
You know, when you hear it here in a discourse, it appears like a such an esoteric, you know, concept. But Swami taught it so beautifully in that. I remember, I think we mentioned this before also, there's this bhajan which we all sing, you know, Jai Jai Bhavani Ma. In that, there is a line which was initially written as Atmani Vasima.
Okay.
I think the last line is, the last or penultimate line ends with Atmani Vasima Sai Bhavani Ma. And when this bhajan was once being sung in front of Swami, Swami stopped the singer and said, what are you singing? He said, what is this Atma Nivasi? He's saying, he is the Atma, the Lord is the Atma in you is the Lord himself.
Correct.
You know, that idea of, you know, Swami was drilling in the idea that, stop thinking that God resides in you.
Well,
your reality is God.
There was another bhajan that must have shocked Swami. It said, Atma mein bas jao Baba.
Okay.
So now Swami would ask whether I should catch a bus or a train and get into the Atma.
I think that's why, you know, when Swami makes small corrections, that bhajan which I mentioned, now we sing it as Hriday Nivasima.
That's right.
You know, but the way Swami teaches some of these very You know, simple lessons, but you know, when you listen to it in a discourse, when you read it in a, let's say, Viveka Chudamani or something.
Oh my God, Viveka Chudamani is really complex. Really, and the way Swami has brought it out in this series is really amazing. So I think that's about what Swami spoke in this clip. Do you think we have time for the next clip?
Yeah, I think we can go to that, because I think there's a continuation of this which is being followed in that clip.
Okay.
You might be able to get a better picture there.
Meeku talli untunnadi. You have got tandri untaru. You have got mother.
Biddalu untunnaru. Children.
Kani ee tallini tandrini biddalanu elanti paristhitilo ledha kodanu neevu preminchakapovu kada.
Under all circumstances, you would be loving your mother, father and children.
వారు ఎన్ని విధములైనటువంటి ఇక్కట్టు కలిగించినప్పటికీ బాధలు కలిగించినప్పటికీ వారిని మేము ప్రేమిస్తూనే ఉంటున్నాము అని భావిస్తారు.
వన్ కన్సిడర్స్ దట్ వన్ లవ్స్ హిస్ పేరెంట్స్ అండ్
వారికి ఏమైనా ప్రమాదములు జరిగితే భరించలేని బాధను కూడా అనుభవిస్తారు.
వన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్ గ్రీఫ్ ఇఫ్ వన్స్ వైఫ్ ఈజ్ అన్వెల్.
కారణం ఇతను నా తండ్రి, ఈమె నా తల్లి, ఇతను నా బిడ్డ అనేటువంటి యొక్క విశ్వాసం దృఢంగా ప్రేమగా ఉండినప్పుడే ఆ యొక్క బాధలకు తాను గురి అవుతున్నాడు.
వన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ గ్రీఫ్ వెన్ హీ ఐడెంటిఫైస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ విత్ ద ఫాదర్ మదర్ వైఫ్ ఆర్ చిల్డ్రన్.
ఈ మధ్యలో కదిలిపోయేటువంటి మేఘములు వంటివే ఈ సంబంధములు.
ఆల్ దీస్ రిలేషన్షిప్స్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ పాసింగ్ క్లౌడ్స్.
కానీ నిత్య సత్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వమును, ఇది నా ఆత్మ, ఇది నా దేవుడు, నా భగవంతుడు అనేటువంటి నమ్మకము పూర్తి నీకు లేకపోవటం చేతనే నీకు అనేక సందేహములు ఆవిర్భవిస్తున్నాయి.
యు ఆర్ గెటింగ్ సో మెనీ డౌట్స్ బికాస్ యు డోంట్ హ్యావ్ దట్ ఫర్మ్ లవ్ అండ్ ఫర్మ్ రిలేషన్షిప్.
నిజముగా నా తండ్రి అనేటువంటి భావం నీలో ఉండేటువంటి సమయంలో అతని పైన నీకు ఎంత ప్రేమ స్థిరంగా ఉంటుంటాయి.
యూ హ్యావ్ గాట్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఫర్మ్ లవ్ బికాస్ యూ కన్సిడర్ హిమ్ యాజ్ యువర్ ఫాదర్.
అట్టి నీటి బుడగ వంటి యొక్క దేహం పైన నీ యొక్క ప్రేమను అభివృద్ధి గావించుకుంటున్నావే కాని నిత్య సత్య నిర్మలమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వం నందు ఇది నా ఆత్మ అనేటువంటి విశ్వాసం నీలో చెలించిపోతుంటుంది.
యు ఆర్ డెవలపింగ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఆన్ ఎ ఫిజికల్ బాడీ విచ్ ఇస్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్ బట్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ హ్యావింగ్ సచ్ పర్మనెంట్ లవ్ ఆన్ ఆత్మ.
దీనికి కారణము సత్యమును అసత్యముగా, అసత్యమును సత్యముగా విశ్వసించటమే మూల కారణం.
వాట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ ఫర్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మిస్టేక్? ఇట్ ఈస్ కన్సిడరింగ్ ట్రూత్ యాజ్ అన్ట్రూత్ అండ్ అన్ట్రూత్ యాజ్ ట్రూత్.
సత్యమైనటువంటిది, నిత్యమైనటువంటిది ఆత్మ ఒక్కటే.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆత్మ విచ్ ఈస్ ట్రూ అండ్ ఎటర్నల్ అండ్ ఫర్.
దీనిపైన దృఢ విశ్వాసమును అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాల్సినటువంటి మానవుడు,
మ్యాన్ హూ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ సచ్ ఫర్మ్ ఫెయిత్ ఆన్ దిస్ ట్రూ.
శారీరక సంబంధమైనటువంటి బాంధవ్యముల పైన మనం అభిమానాన్ని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకుంటున్నాం.
హీఈస్ డెవలపింగ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ ఆన్ ద ఫిజికల్ అండ్ బాడీలీ రిలేషన్షిప్స్.
కనుకనే మన విశ్వాసము స్థిరముగా లేకపోతుంటుంది.
దట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ వై అవర్ ఫెయిత్ ఈజ్ నాట్ స్టడీ అండ్ పర్మనెంట్.
ఒక దృఢమైనటువంటి యొక్క విశ్వాసాన్ని మనం కలగాలంటే ఇది నాది అనేటువంటి యొక్క భావం అందులో కుదరాలి.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ కన్సిడర్ ఎనీథింగ్ యాజ్ యువర్స్ యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ దట్ ఫర్మ్ ఫెయిత్ అండ్ ఫర్మ్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్.
అది లేనంత వరకు కూడాను మనము స్థితప్రజ్ఞం కాము.
Without that kind of firm faith, you can never be a sthitapragna.
Nijanandanni pondalemu.
You can never attain truth.
Nitya satyamainatundi sthananni cheralemu.
You can never reach a state which is permanent.
Kevalamu ivanni kudunu bhrantulu yokka swabhavamule.
All the other things are mere delusions.
Bhranti undinanta varakunu bhrama manaku duranga untuntadi.
As long as you have delusion, Brahma will be distant from you.
కనుక ఏనాడు మనకు భ్రాంతి వదలనో అప్పుడే మనకు బ్రహ్మ సాక్షాత్కరిస్తుంది.
ద మొమెంట్ యూ గివ్ అప్ డెల్యూజన్ బ్రహ్మాస్ విజన్
సర్వమునందు ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యతత్వం ఒక్కటే అనేటువంటి సత్యాన్ని మనము దృఢంగా నమ్మాలి.
వీ షుడ్ ఫర్మ్లీ బిలీవ్ దట్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ద సేమ్ డివైన్ ఎంటిటీ ఈజ్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్.
అప్పుడే ఈ ప్రపంచమునందు ఏ విధమైనటువంటి భేదభావములకు అవకాశం ఉండదు.
దేర్ విల్ బి నో రూమ్ దెన్ ఫర్ ఎనీ డిఫరెన్సెస్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్.
కలతలకు కల్లోలములకు ఏమాత్రమో అవకాశం ఉండదు.
ఫర్ క్వారల్స్ అండ్ మిస్అండర్స్టాండింగ్ అండ్ ఫైట్స్
ఈ రాగద్వేషములకు ఏమాత్రం కూడా అవకాశం ఉండదు.
దేర్ వుడ్ బి నో రూమ్ ఆల్సో ఫర్ లైక్స్ అండ్
భిన్న భావములను పెంచుకుని రాగద్వేషములను అభివృద్ధి గావించుకుని దివ్యత్వాన్ని విస్మరించడం చేతనే మానవత్వము దినదినములకు అడుగడుగు పోతుంటుండాలి.
మ్యాన్ and human nature is deteriorating day after day because he has developed this kind of attachment, likes and dislikes and all sorts of delusions.
Kanuka manavattamulo mottamota manam gurtinchavalsinatundi prati vishayamandunu nenu antu aa nenu evaru aneetundi vishayanni gurtinchali ade atma bhavam.
That principle of I is principle of Atma.
ఈ ఆత్మభావమునందు స్థిరముగా నిలిచినప్పుడే ఇదే నిజమైనటువంటి గమ్యం.
వన్స్ యు ఆర్ ఫర్మ్లీ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ,
పరిహారమునకు ఇదే మూల కారణము.
దిస్ డిస్ట్రాయ్స్ ఆల్ డౌట్స్.
ఈనాడు ప్రపంచము సమస్యలతో నిండి ఉంటున్నది.
Today's world is full of problems.
ఈ సమస్యలకు కారణము రాగద్వేషములే.
Likes and dislikes are responsible.
రాగద్వేషములకు మూల కారణము స్వార్థమే.
Selfishness is responsible for likes and dislikes.
స్వార్థములకు మూల కారణము స్వప్రయోజనమే.
The self interest is responsible for selfishness.
ఈ స్వప్రయోజనం అనేటువంటిది దేహభ్రాంతియే.
And it is the delusion on the
ఈ దేహభ్రాంతికి మూల కారణము మనస్సే.
Mind is responsible for this delusion of the body.
మనస్సును దైవమునందు అర్పితము గావించినప్పుడు ఇదే సర్వ విధమైనటువంటి మర్మాన్ని గుర్తించినటువంటి మంత్రము.
వన్స్ యు ఆఫర్ అండ్ డెడికేట్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఎంటైర్లీ టు గాడ్, యూ హ్యావ్ కాట్ హోల్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది రియల్ మంత్ర.
మొట్టమొదటి మంత్రం ఏమిటంటే నేను నేను అనేటువంటిదే భగవంతుడి మూల మంత్రము.
ది ఫస్ట్ మంత్ర, ద రూట్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఈస్ దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఐ ఐ.
దీనిని సంస్కృతం నందు అహం అహం అహం, ఇదే అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి. ఈ భావము చేత మన జీవితాన్ని సార్థకంగా గావించుకోవాలి.
ది సంస్కృత్ ఈక్వలెంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఈజ్ అహం. అండ్ వీ హావ్ టు శాంక్టిఫై.
ఏది చేసినా, ఏది చూసినా, ఏది తిన్నా, ఏది చెప్పినా, ఏది నడిచినా అంతా కూడా ఆత్మభావంతోనే మనము అంకితం కావాలి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యు సీ, వాట్ ఎవర్ యు హియర్, వాట్ ఎవర్ యు స్పీక్, వాట్ ఎవర్ యు డూ, యు షుడ్ డూ ఇట్ విత్ ది ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ.
ఇక్కడ రెండు విధములైనటువంటి ఐలు ఉంటున్నాయి, నేను ఉంటున్నాయి.
దేర్ ఆర్ టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఐ హియర్.
మనసుతో కూడిన ఐ ఒక్కటి.
వన్ ఈజ్ ఐ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ద మైండ్.
ఆత్మతో కూడిన ఐ ఒక్కటి.
అనదర్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ఆత్మ.
అనగా ఆత్మభావమే ఐ.
దట్ ఈస్ ద ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ ఈజ్ ది ఐ.
ఇది మనస్సుతో చేరడం వల్ల అహంకారంగా మారిపోతుండాలి.
This real I, once it is associated with the mind, this becomes ahankara, ego.
ఈ ఆత్మతో కూడినటువంటి ఐ,
ది ఐ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్
ఆనందముతో చేరినప్పుడు,
వెన్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్
సర్వం ఒక్కటిగా మనకు నిరూపిస్తుంది.
వన్ సీస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ యాజ్ ద సేమ్.
ఏకం సత్ విప్రా బహుధా వదంతి. ఉన్నది ఒక్కటే అయినప్పటికీ అనేక మంది అనేక రీతిలుగా భావిస్తున్నారు. కాదు కాదు, అనేకత్వంలో ఉన్న ఏకత్వాన్ని గుర్తించడమే ఆత్మతత్వం.
వాట్ ఈజ్ ట్రూత్ ఈజ్ దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ట్రూత్, బట్ డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ఇట్ డిఫరెంట్లీ. ఇఫ్ యూ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ యూనిటీ ఇన్ దిస్ డైవర్సిటీ, యూ హ్యావ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దిస్ ఆత్మతత్వ
ప్రేమ స్వరూపులారా. సమస్తము కూడా మార్పు చెందినటువంటిది.
Embodiments of divine love, everything undergoes change.
Chana chanamunaku aneka vidhamaina marpu chendutunnadi.
Changes are occurring from moment to moment.
Ee marpulaku moola karanamu manasse.
It is the mind which is responsible for this kind of changes.
Ee sankalpa vikalpamula yokka prabhavame ee prapanchamunaku moola karanamu.
The root cause of the basis of the entire world is the formation of the thoughts.
ఈ మనస్సు అనేటువంటిది నిరంతరము కొడును చలించేటువంటిది గాని స్థిరమైనటువంటిది కాదు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఫికల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ స్టడీ అట్ ఆల్.
దీని స్వభావమే ఇంత.
దాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ నేచర్.
ఇలాంటి మనస్తత్వాన్ని మనము దైవత్వంతో ఐక్యము గావించినప్పుడు మనస్సు అనేటువంటిది మనకు లభించదు.
వన్స్ యు మర్జ్ దిస్ మైండ్ విత్ డివినిటీ, మైండ్ విల్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ సెపరేట్.
అనేక మంది అనేక సాధనలు చేస్తున్నారు.
డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ క్యారీ ఆన్ డిఫరెంట్ సాధనాస్.
ఈ సాధనలన్నీ కూడా కేవలము ఒక భ్రాంతి యొక్క ప్రభావం.
ఆల్ దీస్ సాధనాస్ ఆర్ ఎ టైప్ ఆఫ్ డెల్యూజన్.
ఏదో మనసు యొక్క తృప్తి నిమిత్తమై నీవు అనేక సాధనలు చేస్తున్నావు.
ఆల్ దీస్ సాధనాస్ ఆర్ టేకన్ అప్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు సాటిస్ఫై ది మైండ్.
ఈనాడు చేసే సర్వ సాధనలంతా కూడా మానసికం చేతనే చేస్తున్నారు.
ఆల్ ది సాధనాస్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ టుడే ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ త్రూ ద మైండ్.
ఈ మనో సంబంధమైన సాధనలన్నీ కూడా కేవలము అనిత్యములైనటువంటివి.
ఆల్ దీస్ సాధనాస్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ద మైండ్ ఆర్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్ ట్రాన్సిటరీ.
సాధన సాధ్యం అనేటువంటి రెండు మార్గములు లేవు.
దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ లైక్ సాధన అండ్ సాధ్య, టూ థింగ్స్.
జ్ఞానము జ్ఞాని జ్ఞేయము అనేటువంటి మూడు తత్వములు లేవు.
There is nothing like the meditator, the meditation, and the thing meditated upon. There is only one thing which is existing.
Anatma bhavam duram chesinappudu atma bhavame nilustundi.
If you remove the anatma bhava from you, what remains? When you want to undertake sadhanas,
atma bhavamne neevu hrudayamnandu sthiram chesukunna adi nijamaina sadhana.
Establish the feeling of atma in your heart, then the sadhana will become
true. Atti vishwasam leka enni rakamaina sadhanalu chesinappatiki ivanni kudunu manokalpitamulu yokka prabhavame.
Without having such firm faith in atma, whatever sadhanas are performed through mind are only sadhanas which are used.
Surya vedimi cheta aavirbhavinchinatvanti yokka meghamulu,
clouds which are formed on account of the rays of the sun falling on water,
tiri suryane kappi vestunnayi.
These clouds are covering that very sun.
Ade vidhamgana atma nundi aavirbhavinchinatvanti yokka,
in the same way those thoughts which have come from atma,
మనోమేఘ సముదాయము ఆత్మనే కప్పివేస్తుండాలి.
ది క్లౌడ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ థాట్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ ఆర్ కవరింగ్ ఆత్మ ఇట్స్.
కనుక ఆత్మను అడ్డు చేయనది మనస్సే.
ఇట్ ఇస్ ది మైండ్ విచ్ కవర్స్ ఆత్మ.
ఈ మనస్సు నాశనం చేసినప్పుడే ఆత్మ ఒక్కటిగానే నిలుస్తుంది.
డిస్ట్రాయ్ ది మైండ్, వాట్ రిమైన్స్ ఇస్ ఆత్మ.
ద టొరెన్షియల్ ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ స్వామీస్ మెసేజ్ దేర్ రియలీ. It's one after the other, non-stop, isn't it?
But there is only one word to summarize it all, Atma. Because the number of times Swami has spoken the word Atma in this one paragraph, it's incredible.
Right. And the beautiful way in which, throughout this discourse, earlier in this discourse also, kind of re-emphasizing what you already know,
mm-hmm.
or an experience which you're already going through,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing the idea of what has to be achieved and what is missing. In this first part where Swami was telling, that the problem is we love the body.
Correct.
We are not loving the Atma, which is the real resident of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is saying what we should love and cherish is the Atma and not the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is going on to say that it is easy for us to relate to and have love for something which we feel is ours.
Correct.
Okay. Till now Swami was always telling that mamakaram has to be given up.
Correct.
But here, the first time I'm seeing Swami saying that you have to inculcate this feeling of it is mine.
This Atma is mine.
Right. This Atma is mine, and everybody whom you see, you have to say that the Atma and that person is mine. And once that it is mine feeling comes, it becomes easy to love.
Correct.
It becomes easy to, feel that sense of bonding.
It's a very interesting, incident that is depicted very beautifully in Akshardham. See, okay. When you go to Akshardham in Delhi,
mm-hmm.
They show you the life of Swaminarayan.
Swaminarayan.
Young boy, and his message is entirely based on Atma.
Mm-hmm.
And in that huge multiplayer, it's like a IMAX theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of the Akshardham in Delhi. The beautiful thing is they show his life. And there is this episode where a ferocious lion is known to be a man-eater, and it's just kills people. And so they close the doors and they go into the township. They all close their doors and they all are seated inside because they know they hear its roar at night. So all of them are in fear. Then Swaminarayan says, I have no problem because the Atma, same Atma is in the lion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it won't attack me if it's not angry. And he sits there. And they show it in a very dramatic way where people are seeing through the window and say, this is the last day we are going to see this bright face.
Mm-hmm.
But the lion actually comes and bows down in front of him. And that kind of demonstrates, that episode brings out very beautifully how the entire creation responds as a reflection mm-hmm. to your conviction. If you stay convinced you are convinced about the same Atma and all, probably the whole universe will respond to you in that way. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And as you're saying, many of these great personalities which come,
mm-hmm.
I think it is for giving this message.
Yeah.
And
in the same movie, mm-hmm. Swaminarayan actually, as a young boy, he walks through the desert and he walks on the hills with lot of snow and all that.
nothing happens. In fact, it's funny because in the making of the movie, they show how difficult it was for the actor to actually do it. You know, to stand on ice is not easy. But he had to do it. He's a young boy who is doing the role of Swaminarayan. It was very interesting to see the making of the movie. But imagine when it actually happened. And he was so convinced and lived in that conviction that, yes, there is the same Atma in all. And he just led his life like that. That's it.
Now, I'm reminded of an incident which I think is recorded in one of the books written by a devotee. During the construction of, I think, the Prashanti Mandir, when Swami was still staying in the old Mandir, I think the first floor, the roofing had been done, and Swami would come very often and stand there. It's just one of those occasions when Swami was standing on the roof and talking to some devotees, and the whole place was filled with construction material. The gravel was all around the place, bricks were all around the place. And it seems Swami was talking to them, and suddenly Swami, you know, screamed out, saying that, I'm coming. And just walked off the first floor.
Okay.
Just walked off the first floor and fell to the ground.
Oh.
Okay, and luckily, I think the place where Swami fell, there was not much of other hard material. There was some sand, but still Swami did sustain a lot of bruises and all that. And had he fallen anywhere else, any other person would have died. You know, and the devotees were shocked. They ran down. They saw that Swami had already gone into a trance. Very obviously, Swami had gone on a transcorporeal journey to save some devotee. So then when Swami came back, they said, Swami, what did you think and do this? You know, what would have happened? You know, they said, we just cannot imagine what could have happened had you fallen anywhere else. Swami said, what would have happened? His body would have died. You know, at that moment, Swami was saying that even the avatar's body is actually ephemeral and it does not, you know, warrant more care than it requires. Then what about your body? You know, the avatar comes once in a yuga. You come every now and then. No, Swami says, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. And we give so much importance to this body. As you said, you know, these personalities, the avatar himself, it is to give this message. They live that message, and so very powerfully it is given to all of us. You know, wonderful.
Actually, you know, going further in this clip, I missed the sequence. Did you actually write down? Swami was giving a whole chain of chain reaction.
Very beautiful. Swami,
Raga, Dvesha,
right,
to...
you know, he's saying that attachment, basically all kind of aberrations of the mind. He said it comes from...
Raga, Dvesha.
Raga, Dvesha. And that Raga, Dvesha comes from Swartham. The feeling of, you know, self-interest. And that Swartham comes from Swaprayojanam. And Swaprayojanam comes from Dehabranti.
Okay, that's amazing. Because, see, when you talk about unity, purity, divinity, you know, till now, our understanding of unity is quite different. We think unity, we should come together for a particular purpose. But true unity is only at the atmic level.
Right.
Otherwise, where is the unity? I mean, your nose doesn't look like mine. And my eye doesn't look like yours. I mean, each one's thought is different. Each one has his own thoughts. You cannot gel two people together. But then I think the unity that he's talking of is at the atmic level. So when you're talking about this raga dvesha, when you're talking swarthamu, when you're talking about selfishness, you cannot afford to be selfish because you are not separate from anybody else.
Right.
You are one. So how can you say I am separate?
And then, this is actually, whenever Swami has spoken about Swartham, Swaprayojanam, it is a quality which, you know, benefits even in the moral scale as well as in the spiritual realm. As you're saying, Swartham, Swaprayojanam is absolutely has no place when you believe that you are the Atman. And even in the world, even in our society, how much can be achieved and how much good can be done if a little bit of the Swartham, Swaprayojanam can be sacrificed. You know, that's what Swami asked us all to do. Seva, that's what he did. So everything is connected in a way, you know. What you do physically, what you believe that you are the body and do, also has a, you know, bearing on what you do as a spiritual sadhana.
Rather, it's all the same journey.
It's all the
same,
right?
more and more you start doing karma without expectation and with a total sense of detachment, you start leading to the same understanding that after all the body is what is doing the action. Because it's meant to do action.
Right.
I stand as a witness.
Even this, Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi. Before Swami comes to that, Swami, I think in the earlier discourse also, Swami says that, Aham is God. You say, I am this, I am that, I am an electrician, I am a doctor, I am a student. But that I is constant, whoever you are. When you listen to this phrase, Aham Brahmasmi, it means I am God. But if you see that prelude which Swami is giving, Swami is saying that Aham is God.
Correct.
And that is common. It is not like I am God, that I is God.
Correct.
And that I is common with everybody.
With everybody, that's right. That's right.
So beautifully Swami has put it, instead of just saying that Aham Brahmasmi, I am God, like I think in that earlier discourse Swami said, a man keeps saying Shivoham, Shivoham.
That's right.
And somebody comes by and asks him, if you are Shiva, what is Parvati to you?
And then he's totally thrown overboard. And then Swami says, if he really has the conviction that Shivoham, then he should say that Parvati is also me. Everybody is me.
Right. And of course, I think Swami, as you said, mentioned Atma in this one paragraph more than in many discourses put together, I think.
And then here he says very beautifully how anything that has got to do with change, he says everything you see is changing. There's change in everything. But anything that changes is only based in the mind. It's only based at the level of the mind. And he says the root cause of everything, everything that changes is from the mind. And what really doesn't change is the Atma. And I can't forget that beautiful episode which you told about a journalist asking Swami, Swami, why are so many people talking against you and this and that? And Swami says, but what can I do? They are speaking from the level of the mind. I am beyond the mind. So basically anything that shows change or fickleness, or Swami says that is at the level of the mind.
Right. There's this quote which, I don't know whose quote it is, he says that man lives like he's never going to die, and he's going to die like he's never lived.
That's true.
It is told in a little negative sense. You feel like you're going to be eternal. Swami, in a discourse, very beautifully he says, let's say you want to extend your life. You take medicines when you're not well. You want to live for longer. There is that desire to live for longer in most people. Swami said it is not wrong. In that discourse, Swami says it's a reflection of your immortality. He's saying that because you're immortal, that craving is there to live.
Correct.
Since you're associating yourself with the body, you think that the body being immortal is you being immortal. But that craving is real. The craving is a reflection of what you really are.
What you really are. That's amazing. So he again goes on to say, establish yourself in the Atma, and that is the true sadhana. So the more and more you, no other form of sadhana, everything else is for satisfaction of the mind.
Right.
And he says, in the earlier discourse also, he says, okay, you are doing puja, you are doing worship. What will you achieve? You will get stillness of the mind. But why do you want to still the mind? You are not the mind. The mind will again start becoming fickle. It will. That's its innate nature. But what about yourself? You are quite apart from the mind. And here he gives this beautiful example of how when the water evaporates and it forms
the clouds.
And he says that clouds cover the sun themselves.
Right.
So basically, these thoughts and these distortions that come out from the mind, they cover the vision of the Atma. That's what Swami is saying.
And again, I think the last sentence where he says, the only sadhana which you can do is try to give up the selfishness.
Correct.
Because that, the desire for immortality or the desire to serve others, this feeling of empathy, when these are all reflections of that innate oneness, this feeling of swartham, suprayojanam, selfishness, self-centeredness, this is a reflection of that ignorance.
Correct.
So if you really want to do any sadhana, Swami is saying, try to reduce and control that selfishness.
Correct. So I think...
Yeah, I think yes, with that...
There's nothing more we can speak on this discourse because it's so beyond words.
And compact. Everything is flowing and everything is... there is...
It's like a tight syllabus.
Right. So dear listeners, I think with that we'll conclude this week's program of afternoon. Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. With me was Sat Prakash, and I was here with, praying from Team Radio Sai Baba with you. Thank you for joining us. If you have any critical comments, any comments, any feedback, you can always write to listener@radiosai.org. It means a lot to us if you write to us, and your suggestions are always welcome. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu and his guests, a continuation of last week's program. And those of you who heard last week will definitely not be missing this week. And those of you who missed last week, do listen to it this week. And you can always download last week's program from our schedule page on our website. I'll give the stage to Bishu. Till we meet next week, this is Prem and Sai Prakash thanking you for your company and offering our humble effort at Swami's lotus feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.